This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Just about 2:05 here on a Thursday. Gorgeous day out there. Waiting to get Mr. Choi on. He is the owner of Uncle Bill's. They are closing next Tuesday, and I wanted to get him on just to say thank you and to get his story and how he became involved in Uncle Bill's. He's owned it since 1987.
Wow.
Have you been to Uncle Bill's?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. You would know.
Yeah, you'd know.
You
yeah.
would know. It's like a legit old school pancake house.
Okay.
It's awesome. Two of them, one down on Kings Highway, one in West County. Mr. Choi owns the one, I believe, it has to be the original, on Kings Highway, and owned it since 1987. It's been open for 60 years, and he's just turned 80, and he's closing it down.
Those places are the best. I mean, that kind of place, just the...
I totally agree.
First of all, pancakes are awesome, but
Totally agree.
There's just something about the settings in that kind of a spot.
I'm not above a Denny's or an IHOP.
No.
But I love Chris's, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Just like a real...
local spot.
Local,
yeah, right.
Locally owned,
because there's always a little extra to the atmosphere, yes, but also it's not the same exact food, right? It's not going to be the same exact thing where, look, again, I'm a big fan of IHOP and Denny's and those places, but, it's going to be exactly the same. The individual places all have their own things, their own
exactly
little tweaks.
Mr. Choi joins us now. William, thank you very much for being with us today. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Okay. Well, I'm fine.
I'm glad to hear it. So on behalf of myself and my kids and the KMOX audience, thank you for your fine work. Since 1987, when I was in law school, you have fed me drunk and hungover and with my kids. And Uncle Bill's is just, it's like Ted Drew's. It's just a thing. And I appreciate all your work.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Choi, tell me your story. I mean, from Korea to St. Louis to Uncle Bill's to this long, long career of serving food. Tell me your story.
Well, it's kind of long. If you have a good interview, it's the best we meet each other in Uncle Bill. I think that's the best way, but... whatever you want to do.
How did you get involved with Uncle Bill's? Did you work there, or did you join it when you bought it?
Well, I saw in the advertisement, 1987, and then I met the former owner.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why I bought it.
What has been the best part of your job over the decades? What's the favorite thing about owning Uncle Bill's?
Uncle Bill is old mine. I work hard 6 days every week.
Yeah.
Sunday church. And then I tell my all employees pretty much, and we work together.
That's very sweet.
Only I miss, I cannot take care anymore of my employees because I'm retired. I'm 80 years old now, and that's the only thing I miss. And sorry for my employees.
Mr. Choi, what will you do now? What are you going to do with your time?
What do I do now?
Yeah, what will you do now without Uncle Bill's? How are you gonna spend your retirement?
Well, I still have to clean up the, all the bills, and still I have a West County, you know, Manchester, and then so I have to spend the time to clean up all that stuff. Okay.
That's very nice. Well, congratulations on your long, successful run with Uncle Bill's. And again, on behalf of everyone, thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Mr. Choi.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. What a sweet guy.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. I what do you do? Because like the restaurant business, you know, when you're running it and owning it, as he said, it's a lot, right? It's 6-7 days a week. It's constant. Even if you're not there, I'm sure you're on call and people, oh, there's a problem with this, problem with that. It's got to be kind of, I don't know.
And you know, it has to be a
weird to not have
love.
That.
Yeah.
I always thought growing up that if you owned a restaurant, you were mega rich. And then a buddy of mine opened a place when I was in my mid-20s, and he was like, 10%. If you can pull 10% out, you're doing great. So it's a labor of love, too. And especially something like Uncle Bill's, where you're making the pancakes.
Right.
That's what he was saying. Like, he brought his family, and his son's running the Manchester one now, I think. Yeah. So it's like, to be able to, that's got to be cool. To be able to, like, be able to spread, kind of like Skip does, like, to be able to spread the business to your whole family.
Well, too, I doubt that he really gets how much happiness he brought. You know, he owns a restaurant. He's making pancakes. He's making a living. But Uncle Bill's is like QT. No one's unhappy.
Right.
If you're unhappy at Uncle Bill's, you should go outside and practice falling down. Like, there's something really wrong in your life.
But typically, if you're running a place, you're only going to hear from people when there's a problem.
Yeah.
Not only, but primarily, right? People that walk out happy, they don't typically say, bring me the manager because I want to tell him how happy I am. That just doesn't go that way too often, which is why it's cool to be able to tell him thanks.
Rach, you need to prep for Throwback Thursday? Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. I've got it right here, Dave. Don't worry.
And it's a good one. You're bragging.
It's
you,
a good
you
one.
You rarely brag.
Let's go.
We've got a good one this week.
Brag
you
it
know,
up.
You know, sometimes it's like, they're not giving me much. But this week, I think it's a good Throwback Thursday. On October 3rd, back in the day, 69 years ago, in 1955, the Mickey Mouse Club premiered on ABC.
MIC?
One of those I missed.
Yeah, again. That was before me, too.
Well, then they revived it in the 90s, and it launched the careers of people like Ryan Gosling, Justin Timberlake, Christina Aguilera, and Britney Spears.
Did you watch that one?
I did not. I probably would have been pretty young whenever they, because I think they were like 10 or something, and I think Britney's 10 years older than me, so that might have been like, I was a little thing whenever that was happening, but all right. 67 years ago, another TV story in 1957, the Woody Woodpecker show debuted on ABC.
He got on my last nerve.
Oh, I loved Woody Woodpecker.
He's
of course he did.
Me out.
Of course he did. You are Woody Woodpecker. Yeah. No kidding. God, I just put that together.
Yeah.
And 60 years ago, in 1964, Underdog debuted on NBC.
I was huge into Underdog.
My dad was big on Underdog.
Underdog
too.
Was big in our world, and we had a girl in school named Monica who was convinced that Underdog was real and was very upset when we told her he was not real.
Poor Monica.
Yeah. I mean, this was like,
I wonder what else Monica's been told over the years.
That was like fifth grade, though. She was a little old to be thinking a cartoon was real.
Yeah. Underdog had a ring.
Yeah.
With a, you opened it up and there was a pill that gave him power.
Oh,
I've never wanted anything like I wanted that
ring.
50 years ago in 1974, Frank Robinson became Major League Baseball's first black manager when he took over the Cleveland Indians.
Hmm. What year again?
1974.
Yeah.
And 32 years ago in 1992, Sinead O'Connor tore up a picture of Pope John Paul II on SNL while saying, "Fight the real enemy." NBC got more than 1,000 phone calls protesting. And then, of course, she was pretty much blacklisted from the entertainment industry after that.
How big a deal was that?
Oh, my God.
Was it really
huge?
So I just don't know if that would be that big a deal now.
Not as much.
Not as much.
But it was also, see, that was before all the abuse scandal was ever made public, before the lawsuits and before all that. And when all that happened, everybody was like, oh, maybe she wasn't that terrible and wrong. You know, because nobody had any concept that that was going on, at least not the general public.
Yeah.
Now, if you think of those things because of those scandals, people would be like, well, I get that.
Did we ever find out, I'm just not a big Sinead O'Connor person, did we ever find out that's why she did it? Did she have some sort of inside info on the sex scandals?
I don't know if it was that directly, but it was something along those lines. And I don't know if it was her personally or people that she knew.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was. There was a piece about her. Maybe it was an article, long article about her. Didn't she just die recently?
Yes.
And it was right before that she had done an interview, which she almost never did because she just left public life. She didn't care anymore. And it wasn't because of this scandal. She just was done with it. She didn't want to be a part of the public music scene and all that.
2 weeks later, she would boot off the stage during a Bob Dylan tribute in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, not surprising. I mean, think of how different things are. Like Andrew said, in 2024, what would you have to do? I mean, look, we have presidential candidates doing crazy, crazy things. What would a celebrity or a normie have to do to get that kind of a response these days?
Burn a flag.
If that.
If you did, you know, like say the biggest star you can think of went on stage and burned a flag, it would be a big deal. It would be like that.
But you would still have half the country going like, well, that's their First Amendment right.
I mean, I just feel McElroy like we were more... just said F America.
Yeah, he did.
Really?
So, yeah.
Well, he's got to stay relevant somehow. Sorry to Macklemore, but I haven't thought about that guy in a long time.
He should mackle less.
32 years ago in 1992, Bill Gates headed the Forbes 400 list of the richest Americans for the first time. He had a net worth of $6.3 billion. But fortunately, now he's currently at $106.6 billion. So Bill's doing a little better for himself these days. Oh, you just love to see it when those billionaires get richer and richer.
Do you think you can really spend more than a billion?
No.
So it's also I don't know this very well because I'm just a normie, but apparently so much of that is just debt. Like they don't actually have that cash
on hand, right?
It's their assets that they own, so their companies are valued at a certain level, and it's not actual money. It's just that,
how do you get stuff?
This is the thing. These billionaires do not spend money on anything. They finance everything. So literally everything is debt. So they don't own their homes. The home is leased in the name of their company. So the company is because they own the company. So they just turn around and they pay the mortgages or
almost
they pay
like
whatever.
They're making the rules.
Yes, exactly right. Good point.
29 years ago in 1995, the jury in the O.J. Simpson murder trial found O.J. Simpson innocent of the slayings of his former wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ronald Goldman.
I remember it. Everyone does.
Where were you?
I was in my apartment with my landlord, who it was a duplex. He lived next door. I was young. He was young. And we were just watching
it. Kato Kalin situation.
You're talking about the verdict, right?
The verdict, yeah.
Oh, man. Because I know the chase, too. But the verdict, I was at work. At the time, I worked at a park district. And there were probably like 15 of us gathered around the one TV in the office area just watching and seeing what happened. Crazy.
And my final throwback Thursday factoid here. 13 years ago in 2011, convicted murderer Amanda Knox had her sentence overturned in an Italian court. She was retried, reconvicted, and sentenced to 28 and a half years. But in 2015, Italy's Supreme Court finally acquitted her. Anybody ever like really follow that case?
No,
she
really
was the
didn't.
One who killed like the boyfriend or whatever.
Well, she's
right?
That's what she was accused of.
Yeah, accused of.
She always claimed innocence. She always said, "I didn't do that."
But it was one of those weird things where like she wasn't acting sad enough whenever the police showed up. That can really get you. I've learned from my true crime viewing. If you don't act right after the fact, people will be like, "It was definitely them," and then it's really hard to shake at that point.
Closer to the home. It's a quarter to eight. 224 DCS. Can I be completely honest about something? The show sucks today.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah, it does. We got to be honest with the people. But here's the thing. You can't get a hit every time you're at bat. We get a lot of hits. Like, even though I'm talking about myself here and my show, we're batting about 350. That's pretty good. But you can't get a hit every time. Yesterday, the 1 o'clock hour was great. The whole show was good. I was in a good mood. My appendicitis went away. My stuff was clean. and then you'll just, some days just don't go well. It's just the way it is. But it's okay. It's so much better, I think, for me personally, to just go, yep, this wasn't a good one, as opposed to try to jam it in. Does that make sense? But I also think I judge myself.
That's what I was going to say, because I don't typically judge shows Like, I don't look back and go, good or bad. Are we having a good time? Am I laughing? Are there good, interesting things? It's a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't hit those marks, you can't dwell on it. You just have to be like, all right, well, we'll do better tomorrow.
It's like being a pitcher. You just got to have a short memory.
I was a hitter, man. We fail a lot.
Why are you living dangerously today?
Because I'm wearing a white shirt.
Oh.
It is very nice.
Very dangerous. Because, I mean, I'm shocked that it's 2:25 p.m. and I don't have a new stain on it yet. I had to work really hard during lunch to not get, like, eating a protein bar, to not get, like, chocolate things to fall.
You a big spiller?
I'm more of a dropper of food.
Yeah.
Like crumbs falling off, and then you go to wipe it, and then it wipes the chocolate stain, and you're like, oh, for God's sake.
Won't see me in a white shirt, tell you that much.
Yeah. See, it's funny, because I've had this for a while. It came with a package of ovens. I don't buy white shirts by choice, because I'm of that. And I put it on the other day, because we were just making a quick run out, and I joked with my wife. I'm like, oh, I'm going to wear the white shirt, because we're only going to be out for an hour, and I won't damage it. And she goes, what's the point of even having it if you're never going to wear it? I'm like,
good point.
Yeah, good point. So if I stain it, oh, well.
I never wear white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like white shirts. It's nice. Reflects the sun.
Also, Wheeler can't touch his back.
I cannot. It's the most frustrating. I'm
but he can't
here.
Touch mine, evidently.
Yeah, well, if you ask. But I have to use the corner of a wall to scratch my back.
Is that why you do that?
Yes, I can't reach.
Okay.
I can reach the lower back. Like, you know, that's not too bad. But anything that's like rib level and up and the shoulders, like, done. Forget it. I can't do it. Combination of no flexibility and short arms.
Yeah, you're built like a safe.
Like I was telling Andrew the other day, I'm a box. Just like, alligator
you're
arms.
You're the little fridge.
Kevin, the fridge.
You're the mini fridge.
I'm the mini fridge.
Mini fridge.
Kevin, the mini fridge.
I mean, that is what I'm built like. And I am cold as ice.
Kevin, the mini fridge Wheeler.
Dude, do you have any idea how frustrating that is? Can you scratch your back?
More than you.
I cannot, and it's the most annoying thing in the world.
Not to brag, but I can.
I got a little.
Yeah.
Jeez.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
234 DGS of Kim Wax. Our buddy Brad Young, attorney at law, joins us. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
So I have to admit, this latest one with Jack Smith and Trump and Judge Chutkan and releasing all this, even though I'm a lawyer, this is all lost on me. I never did the federal stuff. This kind of thing is, I don't understand how you just put facts out there, you know, into the public and maybe taint the jury pool. So just kind of explain to us what happened yesterday with all these facts coming out.
Well, here's the executive summary, all right? This is the same indictment that was done a long time ago. However, after the Supreme Court ruled this summer that presidents enjoy a very high degree of immunity when it comes to criminal prosecution for anything that the Supreme Court called official acts. We don't really know what that means still, but that's the term that the Supreme Court used. So in light of that, Jack Smith went back. He got a new indictment. He took out all the things from the previous indictment that may have not been official acts. And he came out with a new indictment that, from his perspective, was streamlined and only contained accusations related to official acts. Now, saying that, if you look at the indictment, I've read the entire new indictment. And in that, this is what we call a walking indictment or a proffer. And so it reads like a novel. And it each paragraph, instead of being what you're used to, Dave, which is in each paragraph, it just says so-and-so did this, mm-hmm. so-and-so did this, and as a result, they had damages. That's what you would normally see. But in a case like this, it's a talking or a walking indictment where it tells a story. Now, what to me is most shocking about this really isn't anything. There's nothing new in this indictment that we haven't heard before or didn't come out before. But here's what to me is shocking. After 2016, when James Comey came out with the Hillary Clinton email server issue right before the election, the Department of Justice established what they call their 60-day rule, where you're not supposed to release any information within 60 days of an election because it may taint the election.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're about 30-something days out now from the November election, and this violates the Department of Justice's 60-day rule by coming out, releasing this indictment, talking it up to the press. It completely violates what the Department of Justice established in 2016. And at least from my perspective, I'm not arguing in support of Trump in any way,
mm-hmm.
but just objectively, if you knowingly violate this rule because it may impact the election, then there must have been a political motive to doing this.
I agree. I can't stand Trump, but I want to see the man get a fair deal. And that doesn't seem like a fair deal.
Does the standard at all, and I'm legit question, does the standard change at all because the alleged behavior is directly related to an election?
No, because in looking at, and I actually went back, and you guys are going to say, Brad, you need to get a life. But I went back and I looked at some of the congressional testimony that Comey did back in 2017, and he specifically said this: the purpose of the 60-day rule is to avoid executive branch interference in political matters in the conduct of elections. In other words, not to influence the outcome, unquote. All right, that was the quote that he gave. And again, I'm not arguing in support of Trump. I never do that. But in this instance, if you're going to violate that rule, you've got to ask yourself why, because there was no need to come out with this 30 days before the election. There could have easily been done a statement that said, we're going to publicly release the indictment, and we're going to do that the day after the election in order to make sure the public is well aware of what we're alleging Donald Trump did. It didn't have to come out on October 3rd.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this whole thing because that sounds right. Right. It sounds right. We should not be releasing information that can change the outcome. And then I ask myself, this is me asking about any president, doesn't matter if it's Trump or anybody else. Does anything change if he gets elected? In other words, if he's elected, does this even get released after that? Does it even does the case go away? I find this fascinating. Like,
it is,
because if you don't do it now, maybe the argument is they should have done it 80 days ago or a month ago when it would have been outside that range. But I'm trying to weigh this, like, if you don't do it before, it might just disappear.
Yeah. Well, the conventional wisdom here, Wheels, is that if Trump is elected, then he's going to do either one of two things. Either number one, instruct his acting Justice Department to drop this.
Right.
Which again, that would reek of Nixon firing the attorney general in what was called the Midnight Massacre in 1973. That looks bad. Or the other option is he pardons himself, which legal scholars are all across the board on whether a president can pardon himself or herself. Some say yes, some say no. Obviously, it's never been tested, so we don't really know. But either way, it's going to have repercussions if Trump is elected. If Trump is not elected, then the question becomes, is there a desire to continue with the prosecution in light of the fact that this man's probably never going to be president again? Do we continue it? So there are all kinds of issues here that go beyond the simple question of, was a crime committed?
Yeah.
Brad, what's your best guess on that as an attorney and as a political animal, that if Donald Trump does indeed lose the 2024 election, is your guess that the Kamala Harris DOJ continues with all of these cases?
You know, I think they do, Dave, and I think they have to, because if they don't, then the President Harris will be facing criticism for saying, well, the Biden-Harris administration was very gung-ho on this prosecution, but now that Trump has lost, you've dropped the ball. Doesn't that prove this was all political all the time? So I think in order to be legitimate, looking at the cameras, saying no one is above the law, we have to uphold the law no matter who the person is, they have to continue this prosecution after the November election if Harris wins.
That's a great point. Maybe this is a pie in the sky thing. Is there a way to separate the Justice Department completely from politics? Is there a way moving forward where we can be like, all right, so once you're there, whatever, we can't, I don't know what, it, I mean, we have those rules for the Supreme Court to separate politics from the Supreme Court, but I wish there was a way to do that with prosecutions.
Well, there is. And what it's called is the independent counsel. Now, people confuse. There's two terms, Wheels. There's independent counsel and a special counsel. Those things are completely different. even though they sound very similar. Jack Smith is a special counsel. He still works for the Justice Department. But what was started following the Nixon administration was this creation of what's called the Independent Counsel, where Congress approves it. It's funded by Congress. It's approved by the White House. And this person is wholly separate and distinct from any oversight other than presenting reports to Congress and presenting reports to the Justice Department. That independent counsel is supposed to be beyond politics. But let's be honest. Is there anything in Washington, D.C. that's beyond politics? And the answer is no, nothing. Yeah. So there's still going to be a political taint, but the independent counsel is by far and away the most political free, or I should say political light, a vehicle that we have in a situation like this.
So I know you said that there is no new information, but there is new information to me, and at least in specifics, and like him saying so what and things like that about Mike Pence being in danger. Now, purely a political hat, do you think that one person's needle will be moved?
I don't see how this is going to change anybody's mind, because at this point, everyone is either in one of three camps. Either I worship Trump and I want to donate to his campaign. I hate Trump. I loathe Trump. He is worse, the most despicable human being that's ever existed. Or a lot of people are in the group that says, I don't really care about him one way or the other. And basically, I just wish he would shut up and go away. Nothing in here is going to move the needle on any of those three positions.
Isn't that amazing? Is this unprecedented for you in politics?
Yeah, you know, there was a phrase that came out when Ronald Reagan was president. It was called Teflon Ron. And it was this idea that things slid off of his back and didn't attach to him. But this is a whole new category. I mean, this is like Star Trek shields are up, Donald. You know, I mean, nothing gets through or touches him when it comes to his passionate supporters. And those who hate him, it reinforces their preconceived notions. So, yeah, it's unprecedented. And I will tell you, and you guys may have reached the same conclusion after the debate, the vice presidential debate, my personal response was, why can't we vote for one of these two guys for president? You know, I mean, I was much happier with the VP debate than I ever was with the presidential debate.
Yeah, it reminded me what I miss, which is civility and statesmanship.
Yeah, an actual discussion of ideas. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody was questioning anyone else's parentage. Mm-hmm. No one was, to much of an extent, talking about, you know, eating dogs and cats in Springfield, Ohio. I mean, it was a legitimate discussion of different ideas. That's what I want to hear, and that's what's so lacking today in the political discourse.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Well, Wheeler just broke my Bigfoot-loving heart.
Well, I didn't do it.
Well, you set me up.
Yeah, well, I mean, somebody did, but I just passed along the information. Don't shoot the messenger. Bigfoot was trending on Twitter, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, I wonder why Bigfoot is trending. So I clicked on it, and then there's a video that is like the most real Bigfoot ever seen on tape. And you saw it.
I did. I believe
there was clearly effort put in. Well,
yes.
We both said there's either a lot of effort put into this costume or who knows. Turns out it's like a Bigfoot-themed head shop in Oklahoma.
How do they have that kind of money?
I don't know, but the suit's pretty good.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, but that was trending, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh, Dave will be interested in that.
I just want to believe so bad. Which is a dangerous thing. Like, who cares if there's a Bigfoot or not?
Right, it's not a big deal.
But when you really want to believe in something, it just, it taints you.
Yep. Well, you start seeing it everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Or you start, you know, any sort of evidence is very, very welcome if you want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting little exercise.
Yeah.
Because I was in.
I mean, it's pretty good. As far as fakes go, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like, the thing that made me think it wasn't real was the guy's reaction.
Yeah, he bailed too quickly.
It was a little too...
It was like bouncy camera, and he's like, oh, no!
Yeah.
Yeah, like get 1 second of footage and then be like, I'm simply too scared. I must turn away.
I don't know, though, man. If that's a, if it were a real thing and that dude looks at you, you're probably going to panic a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been telling you guys, I've been doing this big clean out and had my house painted and I'm throwing a bunch of stuff away. Just I'm a low key hoarder. And so I had like a dozen bags of just clothing that I didn't fit into anymore. So I want to give it to Goodwill, but I don't want to, they won't pick it up anymore. And I didn't want to take it. So my good friend, Andrew, my second son, offered to come by today with a pickup truck and pick them up. And he did. And you take it from there.
Oh, boy. So, what I didn't think about is that they're not weighed or tied down in any way. And clothes and pillows and, you know, comfy blankies, these such things, they don't weigh a lot. But what they do is catch a lot of air on the highway.
I would have never thought that.
When you're going extremely fast.
I wouldn't have. I would have thought that they'd have been heavy.
So I tried to weigh some of them. I ended up putting the crock pot on top of one of them to try and weigh it down. And all that did is make it seem like they were going to like rocket launch the crock pot into space.
Jeez.
So what I ended up doing, I felt smart about this because I didn't know if it was going to work. And I was like, this is either going to make things 100 times worse or it might work, is I ripped a bunch of holes in the bags.
Oh, okay.
That's, I know it's tomorrow's problem, but I ripped a bunch of holes in the bags. And so the air, instead of catching them like a parachute like they were doing and almost flying out of the truck on the highway, that now it's going right through them. The air's going right through
it. That's pretty smart.
And it sort of worked, and it sort of didn't work. It did work in that there was no more parachuting. It didn't work in that I made too many holes and too big. So the
wind.
She's
going to have a whole truckload of clothes?
Well, the wind just kind of like shredded some of the bags.
Yeah, I was going to say, those holes are going to get bigger.
And so... Then I was dealing with, there's one pillow that is just by a thread in that truck. And so,
I mean, feel free to throw anything away.
Every time I take out, no, it'll be fine. But every time I take, it was just a problem for like the last half of the way here. Because every time I would hit like a little bump, that pillow would go like, whoop. And I'm like, no, stay in there.
So it's, I'm sorry, it's all out in the garage right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We do things weird.
If you guys want some, you can go take a look.
This show really is like a...
Let me get some pillows.
I started to say a dysfunctional family, but that's superfluous because every family is dysfunctional.
Good point.
But it's like a family.
Mm-hmm.
We have characters.
Yeah, and I know and exactly adventures. What I'm going to do with it all. It's going to be fine.
You know what I would do? I would just take it all out of the bags and just let it fly.
Let the wind take it.
Take Route 3 home tonight and pick up some DG clothes.
I'm just gonna drive the truck towards the river and then just dive out and just let it be the river.
I donated it.
You'd be like, Goodwill says thanks. Just don't call him. Don't check on him.
My wording is very careful. I'm like, it's taken care of.
Which is all I care about.
It has been handled.
Yeah. You could keep the clothing. You could sell the clothing. The clothing's out of my house, so I don't care.
No, I'm pretty sure there's Goodwill's just have like a drop-off area, and so I'll just leave it all. They'll be happy to have it because it's nice.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciate it.
And we will see if it all makes it
there.
Let's
see how much makes
it. Yeah, I'm just concerned like how far away the Goodwill is and all
this. It's very. But I'm not super worried about it because like, if we were hauling like rocks or whatever, then I'm worried about what pops off of the highway.
Maybe you can have Megan drive and you can lay on top of it all.
I would love to do that. I really would. I love riding the back of trucks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.